Olaf Wosu, I've been chasing you down since Sundance, where you premiered your first feature film,
yeah.
Lady. It's set in Lagos and dealing with a young taxi driver, only female taxi driver in her area. What inspired you to tell the story?
I wanted to go back home to Lagos to tell a story from the inside of Lagos that centered a young, complex woman, to explore the real minutiae of the daily complexities of her life, while also expanding into a story of Lagos and how the systems in Lagos play a role in her own journey. So I wanted to tell a story that centered a young working woman in Lagos, that forced her to confront her past and that put her in a situation with other young women to find her sisterhood, to have a taste of a sense of freedom, and really to paint a picture of Lagos as a modern, metropolitan, emerging young city. That was important to me as well.
We see all the things in Lagos that we see in most big cities, like there's structural inequality, social hierarchies, there's a lot of very patriarchal system. Are these influences that are currently important in Nigerian society and in Lagos?
Of course they are. I mean, I would say they're important globally, and it's about that specificity and how it shows up in Lagos. Lagos, Nigeria is still a very patriarchal society. In many ways, the body is commodity still in a very pronounced way. There is such inequity in the country, probably more so than much of the rest of the world. And so how does a young woman who is so independent and who's seeking self-determination find freedom in a society like that?
How much of the story was scripted and how much was improvisation?
All of it was scripted. I went back home to Lagos and did 2 months of research with sex workers, and that really informed a lot of the dialogue and the shape of the story with the sex workers. I also really wanted it to be authored with the women once I cast them. Once that happened, we did a lot of improvisational exercises, and then I went back and rewrote the script. So I drew from many of the experiences of the actors too, and integrated some of the rhythms of their natural dialogue, but the entire thing was scripted, and that's how we worked on it to the end.
You actually had the sex workers influencing the story, and their narratives would be included and respected as they actually were?
It was never exact. It's fiction. Elements of their stories were taken. I can recognize, without spoiling the film, some of the life stories of the characters and the women that I met. I would say also really that sisterhood comes from what I observe. You know, women caring for one another when a system has abandoned you. How you protect yourself. How you protect one another. The real sense of camaraderie and freedom. You've kind of like done the most taboo thing you can in a society. And once you've done that, there's a real sense of liberation that I saw in them, because not always, but often young women who find themselves making choices as sex workers have come from families where there's so little space for them and so few economic choices. And so really one of the ways I see it is, as a human, when you have these choices, what do you choose, right? And I met women who chose sex work because of all the options they had, that was right.
Nigeria has a very big film industry, actually. It's called Nollywood, and I think most people will know it. How difficult was it still to make this independent film about such a story that's not a conventional action or crime story?
It was exciting to make this film, I have to say. I would not call this film a Nollywood film. I would call it new cinematic language, to be honest, that takes from Nollywood, which is enjoyed by local Nigerians, and there's a real quality to that. I wanted to make a film in which Nigerian people would recognize themselves, because I think often on the global stage, African cinema is looking to the Western gaze, and I had no interest in that. But I also wanted to be a film that can be enjoyed globally, because I don't see why this language cannot be felt by everyone. So it's really very human. It's not othering. It's not meant to be. I grew up watching film from all over the world and identifying with all kinds of characters, and I hope that an audience can do the same with this.
What would you say from your perspective, what needs to happen so that Nigerian film, or maybe in general films from African countries, are more fairly represented in international festivals and on the global stage?
A lot needs to happen. A lot of systemic change. We need to have more development, and that comes from within, you know, our systems. Our governments have to support culture. At the moment, that doesn't happen. So there's no financing for development. There's no financing. There is some financing for production, but everything is so rushed. Resources are so scarce. And I think that begins the process of then sending it out globally to the world. I think in terms of festivals and the global cinematic community, people need to be willing to see African stories from really the inside. And it might take some time to learn that language. language, but you can do it. And then all of a sudden, there's a whole new world to explore. And I think audiences have gotten stuck.
How did you find your amazing cast, especially Jessica Gabriel's
Uja? It was wonderful, honestly. I love the casting process. I worked with an amazing casting director, Sukumi Adebayo, who from the beginning, we knew we wanted to speak with young women in Lagos and to invite them into the process. And so we went around all Lagos. Sukumi got young women from lots of communities to send in tapes of themselves, actors, non-actors. We ended up getting about 300 tapes. We then called in about 100 women in for auditions. That was where Jessica walked in. And Jess just had a presence to her and such an internal, fierce energy. She's actually very quiet in real life, presents quite feminine as well. But there was something in her interiority that immediately I felt this is right. We ended up selecting 20 women. They went through a workshop and that's how we cast the 7 women of the film. But I have to say that from the moment Jess walked in, she was always number one on my list.
The whole ensemble got recognized artistically in Sundance, but actually, as far as I know, they couldn't be there due to visa issues. Would you like to comment on this issue? Because it feels very discriminatory that even though this cast is recognized as artists, they can't even enter the US for the short term of the festival.
I agree. It doesn't feel right. As I said, at Sundance, I think we have to investigate systems where art crosses borders and the people that make the art don't. And I will say that clearly with the visas, that's such a specific situation. But I would say that globally, this is true in many ways. I think, for example, about all the museums in the world with African artifacts, and those are just objects that were made by people.
And they were always in the ethnological and section
exactly,
and never in the artist
right?
section,
exactly.
right?
These are artists. They're human. And so this is what I'm talking about is humanizing the other, ultimately. That's a really big part of this film.
What would you hope that the audience, especially in the US, in Germany, take away from this film if they watch it?
I would say 2 things. Cinema can change an audience. I really believe this. When you identify with somebody on screen and when you feel their lived experience. And so to see Lagos and Nigerians as equal world players on the stage and to see women, and by that I mean really see women, not to explain them or to apologize for them or to validate them, just to allow space for them to be. This was so much of the process and why the cast were so amazing. And I hope that audiences will allow that space too.
Your film is not only a drama, it's also a genre film, a crime film.
Yeah.
Are there specific other genres that influence and inspire you, or works of film that inspire you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I always thought how great to be able to use genre elements to tell this story and really to lean into the sense of danger. And that's true in Lagos. There's a sense of danger. So how do you emphasize that? Films that were inspiring from the beginning, Taxi Driver was a big reference, obviously. But also films that just carried this kind of sense of danger, of youthful energy. And I wouldn't even call them genre. Lahen, Do the Right Thing, for example, City of God, that are lean into youth and that friction, but have always been done from a male lens. And so it was exciting to bring in those elements, but with women, allowing feminine energy and also playing with the neo-noir.
What are, in your eyes, the chances to find international distribution for a film like that? You now broken into the festival circle. Mm. What would you say did you do different to make it?
I think, if I'm honest, I think we had support. Because I'm also a British citizen, we had access to UK funding. And it comes down to economics, I'm sad to say. I think having time and support to develop your process makes such a big difference. Because I was supported, I could have process, I could have development time to write, I could find collaborators who I could invite into the process. That is what makes Lady special, I think, is the time and the care and the intention of process. And that is supported by systems.
And now that you've been working on this project for a while, do you have already something new that you would like to mention?
I'm working on a few other things. I'm working on a literary adaptation of a novel with House production, which I'm really excited about. All set in Nigeria. I'm also working on a farce, a black comedy about a Nigerian politician who invites a British strategic consultant to the country to help him win an election. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Thank you so much, Vero. We're looking out for your next few works. And thank you so much, Olafinyawuzu, for your film.
Thank you for your questions. Yes.